Thanks for tuning in. This is our 25th episode of Leadership Chalk Talk. It's been a great ride. But I have to admit, it's been a tough couple of weeks. There was a loss in our family. And talking into a microphone just hasn't felt like something I've really been up for doing. So on a personal level, one thing I've learned through this journey is mental health is very important. And you have to give yourself grace in times of struggle. You have to lean on people that support you and help you. And I really had a ton of support. So I appreciate all of that. I've also need to be a support system to my family. And getting support from others so that you can support the ones you care about is super important. So for everyone that's going through something, for yourself, for your family, for your team, take care of yourself. Put that oxygen mask on first. That's the analogy you often hear. Do what you need to do to get into the best headspace so that you can help others. And also, a great piece of advice people have told me is give yourself time, give yourself grace, and don't be too hard on yourself. When you're in these challenging situations, you need to allow yourself the time to heal. With that, I want to introduce the most special guest that we've had on the program so far. My oldest daughter, Lily, has been asking to come on Chalk Talk for a long time. And when I was talking to her about my struggles to record another episode or what to talk about, she said, "What about having a podcast with me?" And I said, "You know what? If anyone can make me smile, it is you." So, Lily, welcome to Leadership Chalk Talk.
Thank you, Dad, for letting me come on. I'm excited to be here and talk about sports.
Yeah, and that's a key ingredient to our guests is sports fan. And Lily is a huge sports fan. So what are your favorite sports?
Favorite sport is gymnastics.
Okay.
And I like to watch football. And I also enjoy playing basketball.
Okay. So gymnastics, you are a gymnast. You are Lily the gymnast. So I've gotten to learn a lot about gymnastics in the, how long have you been doing it? When did you start?
Well, I've been doing competitive gymnastics for 3 years, but I've done like classes since I was for 8 years.
Wow. Okay. Gymnastics has been around for a long time since you were little. Okay. The thing that caught my ear, of course, is you like watching football. Who are your favorite football teams to watch?
Well, for college, Penn State.
Good answer.
And then for the NFL, Steelers.
Very good answers. I'm one of my proudest dad moments. I've brainwashed you very well. When you watch sports, what is your favorite part of watching sports? Why do you like it so much?
I mean, I guess it's like you get to follow it and it's competitive.
Okay, so you like competition. That's a big part of gymnastics. Right? Mm-hmm. It being competitive. Some meets, you do well, you get a medal, you do your best. Other times, you might like fall off the beam, right? And it's disappointing. How do you deal with the ups and downs of gymnastics and the competition that comes with that?
Gymnastics is a lot of mental health, but really having my teammates to support me helps a lot.
Okay. Supporting teammates. As you know, this is a leadership podcast, so we're all about getting the best results, helping people, things like that. And one key part of teamwork is support from one another. So what does support look like amongst you and your teammates? How do you support them? How do they support you? What does that look like? And give us an example.
Like cheering each other on and just like having someone, knowing that you have someone's back or they're having your back just really helps. And in our gym, we have this like bell. And if you get like a new skill or you do really well on your floor routine, coach will let you ring it. And then the whole gym stops what they're doing and looks at you and watches you and just cheers you on. And that is really nice because it's like a bonding moment.
Oh, that's cool. If I'm hearing you right, gymnastics is all about acquiring skills. I usually call them the wrong things and you laugh at me, but yeah, the mealworm. when you acquire that skill in the gym, it's kind of a big deal. So they ring a bell and everyone kind of stops and claps for you. So to translate that to business, it's this idea of micro progressions. So we don't often think about self-development and career development in that way of acquiring skills, but I often talk about skills are sort of your career currency. And the more skills that you acquire, usually the better performance you have because you're better at your job. The kind of reward that you get when you cash in on that currency is you might get a higher bonus, you might get a higher merit raise, or you might be more competitive for a new job if you go for a promotion or you go for another role. So acquiring skills in this mantra that Lily's talking about of like, hey, you're working toward a new skill all the time. You get it. You take the time to celebrate that. You ring the bell and then you celebrate that as a team. And that's something we probably don't do enough of. If you want to create a culture of learning and development and ongoing growth, how do you make things micro in the acquisition of skills? And then once you acquire those skills, how do you celebrate them and celebrate them as a team so that you're modeling for other people that that's the right thing to do on the team? All right. I love it. That's when you're in the sort of positive, right? You acquire a new skill. Talk to me about what support looks like when you're in the negative. Say you just fell off the beam or you fell off the bars and you get a 6.7 and you're really bummed out. Yeah, look at your face. You're bummed out. So you got a 6.7 and you walk up to one of your friends. What are you looking to get from them? What do they do to make you feel better in that moment?
Lots of hugs and really them just telling me it's really just a score. It's like the hours that you put into the gym and the work that like really counts. So you have one bad day, but then the next event you're scoring like 9. So I think it's really just the motivation of it was one mistake. They happen all the time and you will do better.
Okay. So I'm hearing some growth mindset. Last episode was Giannis and his growth mindset. And we really dove into that. Your team is going to do the same thing, right? They're going to have spreadsheets that they make a mistake on. They're going to have emails that they write wrong. They're going to bomb a presentation in a meeting. They're going to get that 6 on the bar. They're going to fall off. And I don't know if you need to hug them the way Lily would. That's for you and your choice of what's appropriate. But showing them that their mistake doesn't define who they are, right? The mistake, as you said, Lil, is that's one moment. That's one score. That doesn't discount all the hard work and all the things that you're doing in the gym day in and day out. So don't let that one moment define you. Move on to the next moment. All right, let's pivot now. Talked a little gymnastics. Talked about the competition element that you like of football. You also said that you play basketball. So tell us what you like about basketball.
I like the team aspect of it. We have like events that we do and just looking forward to that friendly competition and just having fun and messing around with my teammates.
Makes sense. So the difference between gymnastics and basketball is you're on a team in gymnastics, but you compete individually, right? Basketball, you can't go out there. You have to work with a team. It's 5 people kind of working together. So what do you learn from the team component of basketball that's different from the slightly more individual component of gymnastics?
In basketball, you have to rely on each other and trust each other a lot more, because if you don't like trust yourself or someone else and just carry the ball the whole time, it doesn't really work and you won't like score any points.
What tips do you have for building trust with your teammates?
Getting to know them really well and just maybe if you don't really like working with someone you wouldn't really work with. Like if you have a best friend on the team, try to work with someone else so you can bond trust with them and just not the one person.
So you're lucky you have some of mom's genes in you, so you're probably good at like small talk and getting to know people. I'm not so good at that. I'm still working on it. But what do you do to get to know? So someone's kind of new on the team or you're new on the team, you don't know them that well. what kind of questions do you ask? What do you say to them? How do you get to know someone that you don't know already?
Well, you're obviously going to ask them their name because you don't, yeah, that's important.
It's important. It's also important to remember it. I talked about that on a recent podcast too, that it's not okay to just make the excuse that I'm not good at names. You got to remember people's names, right? That proves that you know them. All right. Didn't mean to cut you off. Keep going.
And maybe, like, I remember I met one girl, Jules, on the side of a bench during the game because we were both subbing at the same time. Mm-hmm. So just like that talk about maybe what's going on in the game or if they have any siblings or basic talks that, you know, relate to you and them, mm-hmm. but getting to know them still.
Finding a connection, a common mm-hmm. ground. Great advice. You got to build trust with your team. Just like Lily builds trust with her basketball team. Okay. So you have the, I would say the privilege, you might say the curse, of growing up with a guy that eats and breathes leadership all the time. So what has it been like having a leadership development guy as a dad?
I think it's helpful, but we're also like, corrected when we speak and have to like re-speak it in a leadership way.
All right, say more. What's an example?
I don't know. If we're eating dinner and we say like something disrespectful to mom, you make us like re-say it in a more respectful way with leadership.
Okay. And how do you think that's going to help you later in life?
It's going to teach us to remember the nice ways to talk to people. And not the mean ways.
Yeah, very good. What's the best life lesson that I've taught you besides nice ways to talk to people?
Maybe how to not like to have like a growth mindset and to if like I mess something up to not get super mad at myself and just try to fix it.
All right, so can you tell the story of when you were in kindergarten and you wanted to do the talent show?
Oh, okay. So I had this friend in school, and she was telling me about how she was going to do the talent show, and but the signups were due that night. So I was, but me being a kindergartner, I really wanted to get on that stage and do something for the talent show. So I came home telling my parents, I need to do something for the talent show. And my talent ideas weren't really talents. Like, I was trying to spin a pipe cleaner around my finger and calling that a talent. So then my dad was like, why don't we try basketball? The thing was, I hadn't picked up a basketball ever. I didn't even know how to, like, dribble. But then after months and months of practicing, I was able to do it and performed a wonderful show and as a kindergartner.
Great. And what did you do in your show? Like, what were you, what tricks were you performing? What talents were you showing?
Well, I dribbled two balls, which I couldn't dribble one when I started. So that was a pretty big improvement. And I was like spinning around and then re-dribbling the ball, which was hard to learn. And I remember when I got, like, when I first did that trick, I ran upstairs to go tell my mom that I spun around and re-dribbled a basketball.
Right. So you decided you wanted to do the talent show. You'd never dribbled before, but that was the best idea I could come up with, which was better than just putting pipe cleaners on your fingers, you have to admit. So you signed up that day, and then I think you had like 6 weeks until the actual performance. Or maybe that was for the dress rehearsal, and then a couple more weeks after that. And so from that time, you learned to not only dribble one basketball, but to dribble two basketballs. I think you could cross them both over. You could dribble one and spin around and regain. So you really learned a lot quickly. And we had to have a lot of practice, right? I think I said, I'll do this with you, but you have to practice and you have to commit. And at first, you would start to get frustrated when you would mess it up. So you were trying to get a trick, but you would mess up the trick and then you would get frustrated. And what did we do to help you acquire the skills in basketball that you were trying to get? What was our little trick?
Well, we had a little paper on the wall.
Okay.
And I had to like mark a tally for every try.
Yep.
And I did 50 tries and then I was able to do it.
My lesson here that why I wanted Lily to tell this story was that originally it was, if I do it and I don't get it, it's a failure. And then she would start to feel like a failure and she would get frustrated. And then when you're trying to learn a skill like this, if you're frustrated and you're not mentally into it, you're never going to get it. And so I had to try to flip her mindset from I need to get it on this try to I told her that she needed to get 50 mess ups. Right? You need to screw it up 50 times before you have any chance of getting it. So go, you can't even try to get it until you screw up 50 times. And so I flipped her whole mindset around. And I think that helped to, you know, plant the seeds for growth mindset. And growth mindset's an ongoing journey. Both Lily and I are still working towards it and aren't always perfect. But planting seeds like that, that's definitely something I'd recommend with your kids. It's also something you want to recommend with your team, right? Of, hey, you know, we're gonna try 10 things this year. If we don't screw up at least two of them, that means we didn't try hard enough things, right? If we get 100% on our goals, that means we didn't set the right goals because they weren't hard enough. We didn't stretch ourselves to do the absolute best that we can. So this mindset of get 50 mistakes has really helped in that situation, and something Lily and I have talked about numerous times after, as she's trying to acquire new skills or starts to get frustrated. Okay, let's shift to football because I love football and one of my favorite things to do is Sunday football with you. And you could watch football all day. You also, at a pretty young age, like understand down and distance. You can point out what's going on. You can talk about why it makes sense to punt or kick field goals. You're not perfect. You're still learning some. But for an 11-year-old, you know pretty a lot about football. So What gives you the excitement and the kind of the passion to want to sit and watch football for hours and to learn the game like you do?
Well, part of it is at school. People are always talking about it, but it's also just like the excitement of not knowing what's next and like getting to know the teams. Oh, well, this team is pretty bad or this team's like really good. So getting to see like the upsets and all that fun stuff, I think, is exciting.
All right. So you like the unscripted, unpredictability, don't know what's going to happen. How can you translate that to life? Because in life, you do kind of like predictability, right? You like to know what's going on. You don't really love when mom and dad try and surprise you with stuff. So what's the parallel between the unpredictability of football and your desire for predictability in life?
Well, in life, I think I like to have structure.
Okay.
So I can know what is happening and when it's happening. But in football, I think it's just a game. So I think it doesn't really matter.
Speaking of it's just a game, sometimes dad can get a little bit intense about Steelers and Penn State. What do you often remind me?
It's just a game and you can stop yelling at the TV.
I think they can hear me. You don't think so? The people in the TV, you don't think they can hear me?
No.
What if I yelled louder?
That would make it worse.
That would make it worse. Okay. All right. What is a leadership lesson that you've learned from football, from all this time watching football, something that you've picked up on that makes you a better person or makes you a better leader for others? You notice like the quarterback might do something or say something, anything you've picked up on just by watching others?
I think teamwork, again, plays into it because when it's a running play, you can see that the linemen have to know what they're doing to be able to make a hole for the running back. And almost in life, you have to have those people that can support you with things you're doing so you can like run right through that hole.
No, oh, I like that. It's a very good analogy. All right, I got some rapid fire for you. Who is your favorite football player?
TJ Watt.
TJ Watt? Yeah. All right. Who do you have a favorite game? Do you have a memorable favorite game that you've watched?
I think it's going to have to be the first game of the Steelers season where it was against the Bengals, and it went into overtime, and it was like field goals trying to finish the game, and it was like three that were missed, but then finally Boswell made one and we won the game.
It's a good memory. Week one last year, Steelers were winning the whole game. Then Bengals scored. We were up six. Bengals scored in the final seconds. Minka blocked the extra point. Then it was in overtime. We missed a field goal. They missed a field goal. Then I think we made a field goal. It was crazy. Fun game. All right. What do you predict for the Steelers this year?
I think it's going to be better than last year.
Okay.
Now that they are steady with Kenny Pickett.
All right. Playoffs? Are we talking playoffs?
I think so.
You think so? We're squeezing in? All right.
I don't know how long they'll last in the playoffs.
It's okay.
But I think...
like a 6 or 7 seed wild card kind of thing?
Yeah. I think they will do better than last year, but not be phenomenal.
Okay. I think that's a good prediction. What about Penn State? Big Rose Bowl win last year. How are we feeling going into this year?
It's going to be different without Sean Clifford. So I think this might be almost the year... they might not do as good. I think this might be the year, like, figuring out what the new quarterback, but next year they'll be better.
Okay. First year for Drew Aller, then the next year is the big year. Okay, I'm into that. All right, you're going into middle school next year. What are you most excited about?
The Independence Middle School will come with.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, we're more responsible for things like our teacher. We're going to have multiple teachers, so there's not just going to be one teacher harassing us with, you have this assignment due, you have this to get done. We have to know to get our assignments done, which I think will help prepare us better in life, but also it'll just be nice that we're getting an experience like that.
I like it. So you're talking a little bit of accountability, right? Accountability is knowing what's expected of you and then holding yourself to doing that thing without someone having to nag you or remind you. So it sounds like you're ready to grow up. I don't know how I feel about this, but you're ready for the next stage. And I'm very proud of you and your accomplishments through elementary school. All right. So we got some gymnastics lessons. We talked a little bit of basketball and the teamwork there. We talked, of course, some football. So you're feeling like a sneaking into the playoffs, maybe first round wild card exit for the Steelers, not bad. Maybe a little bit of a step back for Penn State, but the following year, second year under Drew, is where we really hit home. Hopefully get into the playoffs finally. I think there's some really good lessons, but we always like to end each episode with an episode challenge. So Lily, for the audience, what is the challenge that you want to offer them to do to make themselves better?
This episode's challenge is to go out and meet someone that you haven't really talked to before and just maybe get to know them a little bit better. You could do that by just sitting down, maybe having lunch one time, or just spending 10 minutes out of your day to have a little chit chat.
I love it. A very simple challenge, but one that everyone can do, is to meet someone new, get to know them, offer... grab coffee or lunch or just sit down, walk by, say hello, meet someone new before the next episode. All right. So I think this wraps up our Silver podcast, 25th episode. Anything you want to say to the listeners?
I loved being on here today, and I think we can make the world better by using leaders.
I love it. The world needs more leaders. Lily is trying to help us out. I know you're trying to help out your family and your team. Keep doing the hard work. It's worth it. Take care, everyone.